This is Avery Bradley of the Boston Celtics. You are listening to BLNS Radio.
This is Luke Harrigarty, and you're listening to BLNS Radio.
Welcome on in here to the Boston Celtics post-game show. It is me, Andrew Norris. We have Kelvin Chamberlain on the line. Kelvin, how you doing?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. We just saw one heck of a game, man, and me. You guys, if you were listening to either of the other two post-game shows I've done, this is actually now my third. You guys know that I am a Piston fan, and not only am I a Piston fan, I am a Piston homer. So here on CLNS Radio, I do completely expect to be heckled, attacked, and basically beaten down by you Boston Celtics fans after my Pistons kind of took you out in the fourth quarter there tonight. Something we saw in this game, and we had some technical difficulties in the beginning, just want to get that out of the way. I hope I'm coming through all right. I hope everything sounds great. And while we're doing this, just while we're getting the sound all taken out, let's pay some bills. This episode is brought to you by Harry's Razors. Wake up to Harry's. What's your typical morning routine? Now that it's the deep, deep part of winter and it's freezing outside, how's your routine changing? Talk about starting your day with Harry's. Waking up with a better shave and waking up to the realization that you're paying an arm and a leg for razor blades. For listeners to my show, Harry is giving $5 off your purchase, off your first purchase of a starter set with coupon code CELTICS. After entering my code CELTICS, CELTICS, again, CELTICS at checkout, you can get Harry's starter set for just $10. That's a month worth of shaving for just $10 with code CELTICS at checkout. Kelvin, something we saw in the first half of this game, and I think it really, really helped the Celtics, you know, get off to that hot start, and they were on fire to start the game, was the early foul trouble for both of the Pistons' bigs. You know, they could get down low easy, and that penetration down low with the Pistons not being able to play great defense, three-pointer for this team. How did you see that really, really helped this team, the foul trouble of the Pistons' bigs?
Well, I thought the Celtics got off to a great start in that first quarter. They shot 75%, and the way they did it was by going directly at Andre Drummond. You know, he is one of the league's best shot blockers, so what you want to do with the shot blocker is go right at him, and they got at him, but they didn't challenge him too much. They went towards him, and then they found open guys with interior passing. I thought that Kelly Olynyk in that first quarter really took advantage of his height difference over Ilyasova, who was matched up with him most of the time, took him down low fairly consistently, while Drummond, who usually had to stay with Amir Johnson, looking for that cut to the rim. So I really think that ball movement is part of what got Drummond in trouble defensively. Again, two fouls in that first quarter, and a lot of that was off-ball stuff. Not going directly at him necessarily, but you know, going at him, moving the ball, and then him having to react and committing a couple of reaches there, that definitely contributed to the Celtics building up that first quarter lead.
Yeah, yeah. And something we've seen this year, against the Pistons especially, is Amir Johnson's the type of guy who he's not going to put up these fantastic stats. He's averaging 7.5, 6 rebounds, and 1.5 blocks. But those numbers he does put up are, in my opinion, incredibly important. It's things you really need. You need a big rebound, he's there to get it. You need a big defensive stand, he's the one who wants to guard the guy. And it's not only just big plays, it's smart plays, defensive switches, making the right read on a fast break, filling the correct lane. How much do you think Amir Johnson is really impacting this team game in and game out? He's not always getting the biggest minutes, not always putting up the biggest stats, but outside of those two things.
Well, I really like when Amir Johnson plays with Isaiah Thomas, and it's clear that Brad Stevens likes it too because he likes to put them on the floor together and run plays with him. I sort of think of Amir Johnson as sort of the Matt Geiger to Isaiah Thomas's Allen Iverson, where, you know, he won't necessarily get a lot of shots, but he knows when to crash the rim. He knows how to do the pick and roll and hesitate just the right amount of time to be open under the basket when Isaiah draws all that attention to him to get an easy basket or to get an easy second chance opportunity, and we really saw that from him tonight. He had 3 offensive rebounds. He got several interior passes from Isaiah Thomas for his 16 points, and I think that's, you know, aside from what he does on the defensive end, he's certainly the best interior defender. But, yeah, aside from what he does on that end, he likes to run. He sets up excellent screens, especially, like I said, the high screen and roll with Isaiah. Extremely effective play. And, yeah, as a combination, they played really well tonight. I know Isaiah Thomas was 2 for 16 at one point in this game. He ended up making his final 4 shots, and he got that, a couple of late free throw attempts, including that 3, that didn't make his numbers look, a little less bad. But I didn't think Isaiah played poorly tonight. I thought that he took a lot of good shots. I just thought that those shots didn't necessarily go in. I think the only time they really got in trouble is when they weren't running that high screen and roll, and Isaiah was sort of trying to take his man off the dribble without being given a head start. That's usually when, Caldwell Pope was able to stay in front of him, and to a lesser extent, Reggie.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on that. And I think, obviously, Avery Bradley being out in this one really, really showed. The two guards here, Reggie Jackson and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, combined for 44 points in this game. Reggie Jackson put up his pretty normal numbers. He had 24 points and 6 assists. He's averaging 20-6 on the season. He's definitely, him and Isaiah Thomas both got to be in contention for one of those final All-Star spots. But something you can't let happen against this Pistons team is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who, when he's hot, can be a very good offensive player, averaging 14 points per game this year, but he's only shooting 40%. He's only a 40% shooter for his career. You cannot let him get hot on offense, as the Pistons have shown in the last 2 games where he's had 20 and 21 points. They beat Orlando. They handed Orlando a tough, tough loss, 115-89, and then obviously in the fourth quarter today, the Pistons took it to the Celtics. So that's where the loss of Avery Bradley is huge. If you see Kentavious Caldwell-Pope start getting hot, especially around the perimeter, you stick Avery Bradley on him, and he's not a good enough shot creator to shake off a defender like Avery Bradley. I mean, that's the guy who's going to go and guard Steph Curry. He's going to go and guard Chris Paul. He's going to guard, the best guard on the team, especially with Isaiah Thomas opposite of him, who, obviously is not the best by any stretch of the imagination defender. Most of that has to do with his size, not his effort. But I like what you said about Isaiah Thomas. He did take some good shots today. Unfortunately, in today's NBA, when you take 20 shots and only 6 three-point attempts, that's not a lot of three-point attempts. So I did like that he only took 6 off of the 20 shots he did take. He went 1 for 6 from 3. It's a slump. It happens. 6 for 20 overall. And I think that's what ultimately did this team in. It's odd how, at the same time, this Boston Celtics team was hot when he was playing bad, and then they went cold when he started playing good. Do you think Isaiah Thomas, and again, he had 10 assists in this game, but do you think the Isaiah Thomas, who's hot, who's going to go in ISO more, who's not going to give the ball up as much, is worse or better for this team, especially in the fourth quarter?
Well, I'll answer your question, and then I want to go back to something you said about Avery Bradley. But as far as Isaiah is concerned, Isaiah is an extremely streaky player. Obviously, this is a team that thrives on its defense, its ability to create turnovers. It all depends on what kind of shots Isaiah is taking. Like, I like Isaiah, getting out in the open, getting fast breaks because he's faster than anyone else on the court. I like him taking guys off dribbles. I like his sort of change of direction mode where it looks like Amir Johnson's going to take a screen and Isaiah suddenly turns direction. He did that to Pope late in the fourth quarter and left him in the dust. I like those sort of plays. I like when Brad Stevens, sets that up, or he has that guy at the top of the key, or he'll put, a teammate there, and you'll see Isaiah dribble through 2 dudes like he did late in that fourth quarter because there's sort of a guy setting a screen there. You don't know if Isaiah's going to pass the ball, or any kind of motion play involving Isaiah I love because he's quicker than almost anyone else on the court. And for a guy who's as undersized as he is, he has surprisingly good vision in when it comes to interior passing. What I don't like to see so much is when Isaiah is guarded by a bigger guy or somebody who's a good defender, and he's sort of left out in an island at the 3-point line. I felt that, like, there was a lot of leading guys out on an island tonight, and Isaiah is sort of trying to jack up a three over an outstretched hand. If I want Isaiah to take a three, I want him to take that three, when the ball's touched around and kicked back to him, or when somebody sets a screen for him and he comes off that screen and hits a three. I don't want him to sort of just take a three over someone in ISO who's going to have longer arms and sort of contest that shot anyway. And I think during that sort of stretch, second, third, early fourth quarter, it was a little bit too much of that for my liking. I'm not actually a Celtics fan, for the record. So, if I was, then that's what would bother me the most about that. But I think as far as Avery Bradley being out is concerned, I was fascinated by how I think Avery Bradley's absence really affects the defense of Marcus Smart. I thought Marcus Smart might have had the worst game of anybody on the team. It's not just the 1-for-10. I thought that, Marcus Smart, again, he's coming off an injury, so maybe you want to let him slide somewhat for that. But I thought his defense tonight was atrocious, and I think part of the reason for that is because of Smart's body and the kind of guys he's going to be good at defending. Avery Bradley is the guy who would normally be defending Reggie in that situation, or even more specifically, a smaller guard like Brandon Jennings, an even quicker guy who, Marcus Smart is as good as he is defensively. When he has Bradley out on the court, like, Bradley's going to guard that smaller guy, and Marcus Smart is going to be able to guard, more of the Pope types who physically are in his range to defend. I think that he struggled defending those quicker guys tonight, or I don't know, his head wasn't completely in the game or what, but I thought on several plays, guys were blowing right past Marcus Smart, and, that's not what I'm used to seeing as somebody who watches a fair amount of Celtics games.
Right. With Marcus Smart's defensive potential, I think the Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart backcourt is what you want to work towards for the future. Not saying get rid of Isaiah Thomas in the future. Not saying, he can't be a great player in this team, but I think the six-man role where, the benches don't play as much defense as the starters have to, I think that role is going to be better suited for him in a front court defense of Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley in the future could be legit. But Marcus Smart has to be more consistent on the defensive end, and he has to be flat out better on the offensive end. CLNS Radio, the CLNS Beat podcast series, and Audible are giving you a free audiobook from the world's largest online library. Audible.com is a leading provider of audiobooks with more than 180,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, all of our favorite sports, and periodicals. Simply go to audiblepodcast.com/Celtics to claim your free audiobook. That's another thing I wanted to get your opinion on real quick. Obviously, if you want to call in, the FanDuel toll-free call line should be open in about 5 to 10 minutes here. Again, the FanDuel toll-free call lines. Call in. It is 347-215-7771. You want to rip me for being a Pistons fan? You can call in just so I can rub it in your face. That would make me excited. But what do you think the best future is for the Celtics team, especially after watching a game like today where the Pistons guards just dominated this game? Do you think a Marcus Smart reaching the potential where he would start over Isaiah Thomas is the best thing for this team? Or do you think Isaiah Thomas is the long-term option and they should continue to push him as they've done?
Well, they haven't really. I don't know how long you've been watching Celtics for, but Smart was essentially the starter last season. He was the starter at the start of this season, but because he's sort of a player who's always had fragile health, he got hurt early in this season, and Isaiah Thomas sort of usurped his position, and then, Bradley is also a guy who gets injured fairly consistently, so they've never, throughout this season, they haven't really had all three guys for very many games, but Stevens was, originally intending to keep Isaiah on the bench and sort of be that six-man guy who lights it up as Isaiah's been his entire career. I like him in that role, but I tend to be of the opinion that who starts and who doesn't start, it's not really that relevant because Isaiah is going to play starters minutes anyway, even when he has come off the bench. It's more a matter of who plays with who, as far as I'm concerned, what are your five-man lineups, and, you know, what lineup you're going to finish the game with. And I think Isaiah is going to be out there at the end of the game regardless. It will be more interesting, really, for me to see what they do with sort of their end-game lineup in terms of playing Evan Turner at the end of the game when they, you know, have Avery and Marcus Smart out there as well. You know, depending on your matchup, you probably don't want to go with a super small lineup, although you can, because Marcus Smart, you know, can play some of the non-superstar small forwards of the NBA.
Yep, and I think Evan Turner, ultimately, obviously, he can play. He plays the two and the three more than the one and the two. I think he's ultimately going to be the odd man out in this rotation. Not saying he won't get minutes, but eventually he's going to be pushed to even less than he's at right now. We will be taking your calls in 4 minutes, 10:30 Eastern time. Again, 4 minutes on the FanDuel toll-free call lines. Number is 347-215-7771. The CLNS call lines are powered by FanDuel. NBA season is in full swing. Play against your friends anytime on FanDuel. Head-to-head and private leagues have never been easier. You think you know basketball? Prove it at FanDuel.com. FanDuel is the best place to play one-day fantasy basketball. Pick a team of 9 players with just players from tonight's game. Payouts will be in your account the following morning. No waiting to get paid. You can play every day or whenever you want. And leagues start at just $1. Finally, it can pay to be a fan. Plus, right now, I have a special offer for my listeners. Enter a FanDuel league now, and if you don't win, FanDuel will refund you your money. Any contest you want, up to $10. Just make a deposit, choose your league, and if you don't win, you'll get that money right back in your FanDuel account. The only way to get this exclusive no-loss offer is to go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone, and use the promo code Celtics. That's promo code Celtics, C-E-L-T-I-C-S. Go to FanDuel.com and use the promo code Celtics for free. Like I said, FanDuel.com. That's FanDuel.com. I think a player who, you know, you saw today for 7 minutes, and this is where I think the Celtics lack. They're still in the mode of, and I think they'll be in this mode for a while unless they get lucky, go trade for a DeMarcus Cousins, or that next draft pick ends up being somebody like a Ben Simmons. Their bench is, you know, almost as good as their starting lineup. We've seen that all year. But they're going to be one of these teams who, I feel like for years to come, they're going to be floating around that 8 seed, the 6 seed, maybe miss a playoff by a seed. And then they're going to run into the problem of drafting players like a James Young, who we saw go for 7 minutes tonight, 0 for 2 from the field, both for 3-point attempts. You know, he's been in and out of the D League. He's now shooting 33%. And I know he barely plays, but those are the players you're more than likely going to be drafting if you're picking 15 through 20. You know, those guys are rotation players, solid rotations players, maybe 15, 20% of the time. Do you think there's a particular person in this Celtics lineup that could reach that next level, a star level, to push this team to, you know, a championship contender? Or do you think it's going to take getting lucky with a Boogie Cousins or a Ben Simmons?
Well, first of all, I think that's a little unfair to James Young just because he hasn't gotten the opportunity to show what he is. I mean, you know, you are what you are, I suppose. In that sense, he hasn't shown himself to be any sort of star, but he also hasn't gotten that opportunity. And to my mind, like, that's just as much of a problem with how this team is set up as anything else, which is that they're so deep that, you know, a guy like James Young, a guy like R.J. Hunter, Rozier, I'm not even sure if he's on the squad right now, these guys are not going to get the minutes they're going to need to develop into legitimate basketball players, if that's even what they're capable of being. So it's going to be hard for them to even, you know, discover that, especially because they're also a competitive team in the Eastern Conference, you know, right there where, with everybody else, essentially. So with that in mind, you know, they just won't be able to develop those guys. But even beyond that, yeah, I'm not somebody who firmly believes in the top or bottom theory. I don't know if you're trying to sort of allude to that idea where, you know, they have to either be at the bottom of the NBA or the top. I think the fact that they have the assets they have, I definitely think they need to make a move with those assets simply for the reason I described, because drafting another, you know, taking another 5 first-round picks over the next couple of years and adding it to your already deep squad is not necessarily going to do them any good in terms of developing them or just finding that guy you need to turn into a star. I think that they need to put some of those together and try to make a move for a guy. You know, they have the David Lee contract on the books. He's going to be a free agent after this season. They could try to pair him with some picks and maybe get a disgruntled guy that, you know, doesn't sound ideal, maybe the Celtics fans off the top, but that guy is going to be a guy who can be a finisher. You know, maybe they can make a run at a guy like Carmelo. Are you telling me that, you know, the Knicks would refuse a Carmelo Anthony trade for, say, 2 first-round picks and, you know, David Lee's contract and filler? You don't even have to throw the Brooklyn pick in there. In fact, I wouldn't. I would still hold out hope that you get Ben Simmons, but you can also make that big move now, and I think we'll see Ainge at least try to do that. Whether or not he'll, you know, have the wherewithal to pull the trigger on something that's not ideal for him, he hasn't always done, but I think this season to do that.
Yeah, and I think making a move for, and I don't want to get completely off track in this game, because we did watch a very, very good game tonight. Again, the Detroit Pistons took down the Boston Celtics 99-94. They switched spots in the standings. Pistons moved up to the 7th seed. The Boston Celtics moved down to the 8th seed. You know, I think any team trading for Carmelo Anthony, and I'm a Carmelo fan, but I think if you want to go and trade for that contract at this stage in his career, coming off, you know, a major surgery, I think that'd be a mistake. I think if I'm the Celtics front office, if I'm Danny Ainge, I'm throwing the farm at the Kings. I'm, you know, sweet-talking Vladdy Divac every day, telling him, come on, man, you don't need Boogie Cousins. Obviously, games like last night's Kings-Mavericks game, which was outstanding, you saw one of the performances of the year by DeMarcus Cousins, does not help your purpose. But, I mean, imagine the Celtics going up. Imagine the pick-and-roll combo of Isaiah Thomas and DeMarcus Cousins. You know, with how Isaiah Thomas can penetrate the basket, you're going to get so many open looks for DeMarcus Cousins, and even off misses. It's the James Harden effect. You know, James Harden's teammates score off of misses more often than anybody in the league because he causes defenses to collapse towards him and try to, you know, jump on top of him on defense. You know, and they, even tonight, Andre Drummond played 21 minutes. He went for 13 points and 5 rebounds. But you saw when he started getting it going, nobody was man enough to really bump bodies with him. And selfishly, as a Pistons fan, I always want that Pistons-Celtics rivalry that I didn't have the chance to see in its heyday. I want to see that rekindled. Andre Drummond versus DeMarcus Cousins, I think, is the perfect way to do it. I mean, you're talking once LeBron's out, you're talking that's a chance for two perennial powers in the East for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years to come. I get really excited with these things, looking down the road. And it was just great. The FanDuel toll-free call lines are now open. Again, one more time, the number is 347-215-7771. I want you to call in. I want you to talk about this game. And if you love FanDuel as much as me, hit me up on Twitter. That is @TalkBballNow. You'll see the name The Hooper's Log pop up. And, you know, that's obviously the show I do here with Chris Morrison on CLNS. You'll see that come up. Make sure you follow me. Let's talk some FanDuel. Again, click the microphone in the right-hand corner when you go on FanDuel.com. Use my code Celtics, and you will get the free offer we talked about a little bit earlier. Again, go to FanDuel.com, promo code Celtics, CELTICS. Again, you know, the special offer, the up to $10 back, any tournament you enroll in, that's the chance. I mean, you're basically getting free gambling money. You're playing with the house's money. And I, you know, I don't see why you wouldn't. Now back to this game, Kelvin. I think what you saw in this game was more in the second half was the true Celtics. I have not jumped on the Celtics bandwagon as far as them even being a shoe-in for the playoffs. I think there's a chance that this team really falls off in the second half of the year. You got it's almost like an island of misfit toys. We've talked quite a bit. This team is very deep. It has a lot of talent. It doesn't have any star talent. Isaiah Thomas is probably the closest. But I think when this team starts running into big teams, and you saw it in last year's playoffs against the Cavs, and obviously the Cavs are on a whole nother level than either of these teams. But I think, you know, down the stretch when teams are coming at you every night and you're really getting into the nitty and gritty games because teams need them even more, I think that's when the Celtics are really going to start to fall off. And I know that's not a popular opinion whatsoever. So I wanted to get your take on that. Do you think this Boston team is, you know, a 45-win basketball team, or do you think they're closer to that 35, under 500 mark?
First of all, I hate that you took us away from the last conversation we're having because I had a rebuttal about DeMarcus Cousins and Carmelo, but I'll follow your lead here. I think that they are, you know, just by attrition. You know what it is that I feel like you're underrating just offhand is how good they are defensively. I think that teams look at – yeah. I feel like, you know, people look at teams because of, like, you know, the FanDuel mentality, because, you know, people like scoring, because, you know, good players are primarily identified for what they do offensively. And you look at this team and you're like, well, they're not that good. They don't really have a star. Their best player, you know, has been a sixth man his entire career and is a streaky bench shooter who's never the type of player who's had success in the NBA. But they have really good on-ball defenders at a lot of different positions. Jay Crowder, we haven't even mentioned tonight, is, you know, as good, in my opinion, as Avery Bradley or Marcus Smart as the defensive player, and arguably even better. Amir Johnson, not a shot blocker, but the little things that he does defensively are fantastic, in my opinion. They create turnovers. They're fourth in the NBA in scoring differential, which is, you know, you can argue is an overrated stat. I've read an article that said that talked about how, you know, when the Celtics beat teams, they tend to blow them out, but they also tend to get blown out by other teams when they lose, which it's an interesting idea. So it's like people aren't really sure exactly how good they are, but I just think – I think most teams in the league aren't prepared for the type of ball pressure that the Celtics are going to put on you on a regular basis. And unless you're a team with like two legitimate primary ball handlers, if they're at all healthy, and you know that remains a question for this team as well. I think that they can create enough turnovers even without being that good offensively to score in the fast break, and you know. Because the three-point defense is good as well, you're not going to make it up on them that way. So their style is just tantamount to at least regular season success. I'm more skeptical of them, you know, when it comes to how they're going to play in the playoff, because of that, you know, bogs down and becomes single possession basketball a lot of the time, and they don't have the type of guy that's going to take to consistently, you know, lead them through round after round when you're seeing the same team over and over again. But just as what they are stylistically, in my opinion, is a team that's very built for regular season success. And I think that 45 wins sounds about right.
I love what you said about the FanDuel mentality there. And just a quick story. I remember last year when Enes Kanter got traded to the Thunder. And I'm huge into FanDuel. You know, on the Hoopers log, this Friday, we're going to be having a group called Inside the Bets come on for FanDuel. You know, these guys are great when it comes to FanDuel. Their names are Dre and FP. They will teach you all you need to know about FanDuel. We have them on. And I remember last year, like I said, when Enes Kanter got traded, I wasn't watching the Thunder games as much, but I had Enes Kanter most nights on FanDuel. And I'm like, wow, this guy's really turning into something special. And I remember one day I'm like, all right, I want to watch this guy. And I watched him, and it was just like, well, he can't play a lick of defense. He's not taking – he doesn't have a very high basketball IQ, but, you know, he can score some points. So I think that FanDuel mentality is actually really taking over. You go on Twitter, you can really tell. And, I learned from there, and I tried not to judge the book by the FanDuel points. But, you know, I think that's really taken over a lot of the basketball world. Now, a quick question for you. I want a quick answer, and then I want you to throw that rebuttal out for the DeMarcus Cousins from Carmelo Anthony, because I am really interested in what you had to say. The quick question for you is, right now, if they played a playoff series,
Who is the 2 seed against the 2 seed in the East right now? I'm going to pull it up because I believe it's the Bulls. Yeah, it's the Bulls. Who has a better chance of beating the Bulls right now? The Detroit Pistons or the Boston Celtics? And then I want to hear your rebuttal.
You really like posing the Pistons as a team, as a credible playoff threat. My issue with the Pistons as it stands right now is I'm a firm believer in sort of the pyramid theory of I think it takes a different mentality and a different style of basketball to win in the playoffs. And I look at that particular team, and it does not have a lot of experience outside of Reggie Jackson, who, you know, sort of has six-man experience, but not as much experience leading the team. Andre Drummond, you know, does not have a lot of playoff experience. The Celtics have been in the playoffs the last couple of years. Stylistically, it's interesting to me because I think that the Bulls have sort of worn down on the inside. I think that, playing Drummond against Gasol would be a difficult matchup for the Bulls. They might have to consider benching Gasol, which they've been reluctant to do because he has a fragile psyche, which as a Lakers fan, I'm well aware of that. But so I think that would be a huge concern if I was a fan of the Bulls in this scenario. I'm trying to think of, that's how I'm trying to relate to this, who I'd be more afraid of. But on the other hand, I think that it would inevitably bog down into a fouling game. And I don't think that Drummond, I think Hakka Drummond would be an extremely successful playoff strategy. So I might lean toward the Celtics for that reason. But I think I would favor the Bulls against either team.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right on that. And real quick, before we get to what you had to say about DeMarcus Cousins or Carmelo Anthony, the one point that I disagree with you on completely is the Reggie Jackson. Obviously, is the six-man experience, but we saw a few years ago in the playoffs in the beginning of last year's regular season, when this guy's got to really put it forward and, score for a team, or even this year in the fourth quarter, he's been one of the best, if not the best, fourth quarter player in the league. This guy can create a shot. This guy can do what needs to be done. I don't think the Pistons are a shoo-in for the playoffs. I think they're a favorite for either the 8th seed or the 7th seed. But, again, I like what you said. Hakka Drummond is going to be very effective, especially in the playoffs, because that can just kill a team's mindset. I've seen it happen. And the sabermetric numbers don't always agree with it, but I've seen it happen time and time again where, this team's on a roll. Back-to-back oops to Drummond back-to-back post moves, and then they foul him, and you just see everybody's head go down like, oh, God. And Aron Baynes has been a terrific backup. His numbers aren't going to be crazy, but he's going to do the right things. And, he doesn't have bad numbers for a backup center on an 8-seed team. But I think that strategy would be unbelievably effective in the playoffs. I don't think either team would beat the Bulls, but I do think that would be – I think if the Bulls keep the 2 seed, that 2-7 series is going to be one of the better in the playoffs, because I don't think the Bulls are all that great. But I really it's been on my mind since you said it. I really want to hear your point on the whole Carmelo Anthony, DeMarcus Cousins thing we were talking about.
Okay, yeah, but briefly though, just so I'm still on the same track. I also don't mind Aron Baynes. I just think that you need, to win that sort of series, you're going to need Drummond on the floor, collecting offensive rebounds and even 100%. More specific, yeah, defensively. But anyway, yeah, I think DeMarcus Cousins is, a fine pipe dream to have. It's a fantastic dream to have. Look, I as a Laker fan would also love DeMarcus Cousins. I would trade anybody on my team for DeMarcus Cousins, including Russell and Randle and the next pick. I'm just skeptical, one, that the Kings are willing to move DeMarcus Cousins. He hasn't, he is, sure, at times is petulant, but Ronan Dive is not the type of owner who seems like he's just going to give up on that guy. They haven't been going terribly at the moment. And not only that, but it's going to take a huge package to even entice them to get DeMarcus Cousins. So if you're the Celtics, you want to make a move for DeMarcus Cousins, you're definitely going to have to throw the Brooklyn pick in there, and probably at least 3 Brooklyn picks, I'd imagine, to entice the Kings to maybe, throw DeMarcus Cousins your way. Do I think that the Celtics could win a title with this team and DeMarcus Cousins? No, I still don't. And so why would you give up that hope of, you know, this future potential superstar that everyone's talking about is you know, the next one in the generation player. I understand that DeMarcus Cousins is more proven, but, you know, who's to say DeMarcus Cousins will re-sign in 2 years with a free agent? I don't think that Danny Ainge would be willing to pay that price for him. And as far as Carmelo goes, people complain about Carmelo as much as they want, but if you look at what Carmelo's done this year, he's taken his scoring down a notch. He's picked up both his passing and his defense. He's played more like a team player, a guy who could fit right into the Celtics system as an undersized power forward. They like playing small anyway. They sort of need a guy who can post up a little bit better than guys like Jared Sullinger. And they need another guy who can score in the fourth quarter. You add Carmelo Anthony to that team, it's going to take much less than it would take to get them. And you don't have to give up that Ben Simmons pick. So hypothetically, you have Carmelo Anthony and Ben Simmons on your team next year. That's the, you know, guarantee either way to get him. But they have that hope of right now the Nets are in the third spot. DeMarcus, you know, you want DeMarcus, there's no chance you let up that pick. I think that they could make the Eastern Conference Finals right now with Carmelo Anthony on this team, and they could get him without having to give up any real pieces on this team right now except for picks and, you know, David Lee and maybe another salary, Tyler Seller and another salary filler or two.
Yeah, I think both are high risks. I'm with you. I don't think I would do the DeMarcus Cousins trade. I also don't think I'd do the Carmelo Anthony trade. And I heard something last night. He's only dunked like two times this year, which is surprising to me. And, you know, dunks obviously aren't the be all end all, you know, you might not get all the opportunities, but it is shocking to see how much that athleticism fell with the knee injury. CLNS Radio is the best written, spoken, and watched Boston sports coverage. For the best of AV, turn to CLNS Radio's YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/CLNS Radio. There you'll find high definition locker room interviews. The high definition locker room interviews are also full length. You'll hear the whole story. The Garden Report, which is an HD post game show shot on the parquet floor at TD Garden. And make sure you subscribe. Again, www.youtube.com/CLNS Radio. Staying on this point, because I really do love this conversation, I think the dream for Ben Simmons, I am as high, if not higher, on him than most people are. I think he's got top three best player in the NBA potential. Will he ever reach it? I'm not going to throw out predictions for that. Now the kid's 19 years old, okay? But I, you know, I am not throwing away that last Nets pick. And Danny Ainge has shown he's a very patient man, and he understands you're not gonna be the Miami Heat where you go and sign LeBron James and Chris Bosh in an offseason to tag along with Dwayne Wade. So he's gonna play it patient. He's gonna do it right. And you know, when these draft picks come out where he completely did unspeakable things to the Nets in that trade, which is probably the biggest ripoff trade of all time, and you know, shout out to the Boston Celtics organization for that. I think you got to at least wait till after this year before you make any big moves. See what spot you get in the draft. Right now, you have the third highest shot at that first overall pick behind the Lakers and the 76ers. And I think it's something you got to go for, man. I really do. I think the NBA, I'm huge. I think the NBA is going to rig it and just give it to the Lakers. I'm not one who says, you know, this is all rigged, this happens because of this and all that. But I think the lottery is something they frequently do rig, especially when a team like the Lakers, who have the biggest TV contract in the entire league, and it's not even close. I mean, they blow everybody out of the water. They need Ben Simmons to get back on top. The Celtics don't need him as much. And it'd be the passing the torch Kobe to Ben Simmons. I don't know what you think about the whole NBA lottery, and you know, what's your take on that? Do you think that that's something that they do, or do you think it's all luck of the draw?
I'm staunchly against NBA conspiracy theories. There's another guy on here who sort of pro NBA conspiracy theory, who I argue with all the time. I don't understand the notion of even being interested in basketball if you buy into the idea that the league is rigging the lottery for a particular team. I think if they were going to rig the lottery for the Lakers, they would have done it last year rather than give the first pick to the Timberwolves. I don't think that doesn't do the league any good, calling it. The Lakers ended up with D'Angelo Russell instead of Carl Anthony Towns, who they obviously would have drafted. Why wouldn't you do that, as opposed to this year? Is there a chance the Lakers end up with the first pick? Of course, they have the second worst pick. They have the second worst record in the league right now. There's obviously a chance that the 76ers get the first pick, but the league would be against that. I sort of feel like Ben Simmons is going to end up as a Sixer, but the league also loves the Celtics, so they have the Nets first pick. Obviously, adding Ben Simmons to a team that's already good is good for the NBA. So if you're buying into this conspiracy theory notion, I think that the Lakers will rebuild, but I think they'll end up doing that through free agency at some point. I'm not convinced they'll get Ben Simmons, but I also don't really buy into conspiracy theories. But one thing you're failing to realize is the Celtics can do both of exactly what we're talking about. Brooklyn, again, third worst team in the league right now. You hold on to that pick, which is fine, but they also have their own first-round pick, Dallas's first-round pick, and possibly Minnesota's first-round pick, but it's pretty unlikely. They have a second-round pick from Minnesota. Next year they have even more first-round picks. So when I say trade two first-round picks for Carmelo Anthony, I'm not talking about this Brooklyn pick. You trade your own Celtics first-round pick, which is going to land you the next James Young or R.J. Hunter that we've already discussed that they don't need on their roster, and you trade them, one of the Nets' future picks because they have another three. So they have the right to switch with them in 2017, which almost certainly they'll do, and they have, the one in 2018. So, yeah, give them the one in 2018. Give them Boston's pick. Give them Dallas's pick. Give them three picks. You can still get a guy. Dallas's pick is not going to be in the lottery this year. So why not trade both of those first round picks for a guy like Carmelo Anthony?
Yeah, and it's something where you wonder how much the Knicks want to keep Melo around, because you hear conflicting reports all the time. You hear, there was a report before this year started that he might not be on the Knicks at the end of the year. But I really feel more and more that they want to keep him around more and more. Again, that's purely speculation, no evidence behind it. But it's, like you said, he's been playing as more of a team player. He doesn't need to score as much. His defense is unbelievably improved. And I think he really likes being a mentor to these young players, the Kristaps Porzingis, whoever comes in following this year, if they even have their first-round pick. They've ran that franchise pretty much into the ground as well. And they're very, very fortunate to have Kristaps Porzingis. Need the cheapest tickets to sporting events and concerts, whether it's events or games at Gillette, Fenway, or the Garden? Your answer is the Tick IQ app. We love this app because we can search the cheapest tickets for events all across the U.S., and it's so easy to use. You can swipe on all the upcoming games and concerts to receive updates on prices and see your seat before you buy. Head to the App Store and download for free. Simply search Tick IQ. That's T-I-Q. IQ. If you act now, you can use the code BOSTON for 10% of all TN tickets listings. We got about 3 or 4 minutes before we want to get into, celebrating the 5 million listeners and just throw a couple things out before we end the show here. And let's just go overall in this. What were your biggest takeaways on each side, each team? And again, we got to do it pretty quickly here. What were your biggest takeaways from this game, and where do you think the Celtics especially need to improve?
For what they did in this particular game, in my opinion, it was all about ball movement. I don't mind threes. What I don't like is stagnant threes off an isolation situation. I think that, you see the three-point shot have a success in the NBA when a guy creates and, finds another guy open off the dribble, unless it's one of the premier shooters in the NBA, which the Celtics don't have on their team. So if you're going to create threes and create that three, point offense through penetration and dishing. I didn't see enough of that tonight. They're usually one of the best passing teams in the league. They're passing really bogged down after a great start. I think that Kelly Olynyk should play more because, he played, in my opinion, fantastically tonight. I know he went 4 of 11, but I thought he really took advantage of Ilya Sova early. And, in my opinion, the ball moves better when he's in the game. I think that, Jared Sullinger is in an extreme slump right now. I don't know what to make of him. He seems lackadaisical out there, even defensively. He, made a few shots in the second half, but I really didn't like the effort that I saw out of him, so I'd like to see more effort from him. And Smart, I think that Smart needs to dribble the basketball. You're technically not a point guard. You're sort of a combo guard, but you can't just be a spot-up shooter when – your man standing there. I think that you have to sort of be able to take your guy off the dribble a little more. You saw him, post up Reggie Jackson in that fourth quarter play, which I didn't love because, he's not a great post-up player. Yes, he has a size advantage over Reggie, but clearly he didn't really even have a move to put on him in that situation. I'd like to see him develop. I mean, these are long-term goals, sure, but I guess that's sort of what you're asking for, right?
Correct. Yeah.
All right, before we get to the 5 million listeners, which is huge for CLNS, the official CLNS radio Boston Sports podcast app is here. Did you know that you can enjoy all of your favorite Boston Sports podcasts from one place on your iPhone or Android? With this exciting news comes an exciting contest for our loyal listeners. CLNS Radio is giving away 2 tickets to a Celtics game to a lucky fan. The best part is entering the contest is easy. All you have to do is download the new app, give it a rating and review on iTunes and or Stitcher. Really, it's just that simple. This started way back in October 31st, and it's the first 500 fans to meet the above criteria will be randomly selected to win those tickets. Good luck to everybody, and thanks for making CLNS Radio your home for sports podcasts. Here on CLNS Radio, we are celebrating 5 million listeners. I repeat, 5 million listeners. For over 7 years, CLNS Radio has been offering you free exclusive content on your favorite sports teams. In 2015, 2016, CLNS Radio is celebrating the anticipation of our 5 millionth listeners, which is due this month. To usher in the new NFL, NHL, NBA season, CLNS has its biggest giveaway plans to date. With our free mobile app released in the Android and iOS app markets, the CLNS Radio .com website optimized to be lightning fast, our equipment upgrades and more HD premium exclusive locker room content at TD Garden. We now need your help. Show your support for CLNS Radio, our staff of volunteer writers and podcast hosts by going to www.clnsradio.com/patrons. Help keep CLNS free and we give you free stuff. I mean, everybody loves free stuff. Show your support. No amount is too little. Just log on to www.clnsradio.com/patrons, P-A-T-R-O-N-S. There you can donate in any amount. Be sure to check out all the rewards for donating. We reward your generosity with prizes ranging from free game tickets to your favorite Boston sports teams to a Bill Russell autographed basketball valued at over $1,000. If you like money, get it. I personally would keep it, but go sell it. To a designer, CLNS Radio, V-neck T-shirt, or a shiny silver insulated travel mug. Support CLNS, keep our programming free, and take home pieces of Boston sports history. Kelvin, we got to see a great show tonight, a great game tonight. I really enjoyed doing the show with you. I hope this Celtics-Pistons rivalry gets rekindled in the future. This game looks like it came down to the wire. You got to see what the Pistons have done in the fourth quarter all year. And it was just really something to see. You got anything to say before we go off the air? We got about 50 seconds here.
Well, I'm just wondering, did you just coincidentally get assigned this game, or did you specifically request it? Were you ready to antagonize some Celtics fans? Cause I'm a little disappointed you didn't have your moment to be yelled at by a Celtics fan, but maybe next time.
I'm extremely disappointed. I did request it. I know you guys are all disappointed that I'm on here. But, hey, Pistons won, so I don't care. Again, follow me at TalkBball now on Twitter.com. Keep listening to CLNS. Thank you so much for listening, guys. And have a fantastic night. Go Pistons. We're on CLNS. I mean, go Celtics.
Good night, everyone.